You are listening to Embodied People, a podcast co-hosted by Sarah Donahue and myself, Colleen Wall. We are both somatic movement educators and dance professors. We are also faculty at Integrated Movement Studies. In this podcast, we explore all things embodied. We explore anatomy, we explore meaning, metaphor, and how we make sense of out of our lives through our bodies. We also talk about developmental motor patterning, how it affects our psychological and emotional and psychic states as adults. And we really love to offer you movement practices and meditations that deepen your experience of your body so that your body is a generative place for you in your life. That is, it helps guide you towards and supports you in living the life that is most fulfilling for you. This podcast is sponsored by Integrated Movement Studies, and that is a certification program in the Laban-Bartynieff Movement Studies system. And if you'd like more information on Integrated Movement Studies and what the Laban-Bartynieff system is, beyond what we offer in this podcast, you can check out our website, imsmovement.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Embodied People. This is Sarah, and I'm here with Colleen. And we are really excited about this episode today. Episode? Yes. We are going to be talking about a patterning that is called yield and push to reach and pull. And we'll kind of dive into it, but it's part of developmental patterning. It's part of how we move in our everyday lives. So again, just, it's a lot of words I know. So it's yield and push to reach and pull. And what we did, we thought would be kind of fun is I'm going to talk about yielding, and then Colleen's going to talk about pushing, and then I'm going to talk about reaching. And then there's a little like subcategory in there, grasping, and then pulling. And I think it'll make more sense when we dive in. Do you want to add anything to that, Colleen?
Yeah, I do. Just one thing. I think on the whole, this phrase of yield to push, to reach, grasp, and then pull, and then release to begin again. I know that Bonnie Bainbridge-Cohen, who is the founder of Body Mind Centering, she has put these as part of a larger cluster of information called the basic neurocellular patterns. And I have also seen it out there. And I don't know if I saw it and then started referring to it this way myself, or if it somehow it was mentioned in our integrated movement studies training, but refer to them as the satisfaction cycle. And it's the idea behind this is that it's the rhythms, the sort of energetic movement patterns that we move through in order to meet our needs, to satisfy our needs. And we do that at a really infantile way as babies. And we continue to cycle through that in different ways as in movement, and then also as energetic maybe patterns or ideas in other parts of our lives. But whether it's getting away from something or moving to a new phase in your life, like sort of moving away from one thing and towards something else, or actually just, I can even see how these yield, push, reach, grasp, pull on small levels are present when I'm eating a meal. So I'm satisfying my need for nourishment. And they're very present in a lot of movement training. So I think the umbrella of this is a way that we satisfy our needs or meet the needs we have to sustain our lives functionally and like in meaningful ways is really present. So it's with that, Sarah, jump awesome. In.
Okay. Thank you for adding that. Okay. So yielding, this word yielding, I just have some like other words around it. And then I invite you listeners to move through this in any way that seems like it makes sense. You could be standing or sitting, but yielding, I think of as pouring, grounding is often another word we use for it, bonding, meeting. So maybe just start with, if you want to, take the palms of your hands and just kind of barely touch them together, almost like a prayer position. So just feeling like your skin, like the very edges of your skin coming in contact. And it's almost like I'm like barely touching so much right now that they're almost like bouncing off of each other a tiny bit. Like they're not connected right now. They're just kind of barely coming together. And then if you can really kind of drop in, and even maybe closing your eyes would help, and starting to actively pour the cells of each hand toward the other. So yielding is an active sense of pouring flow, actively yielding the weight of the body without pouring flow. So it's this sense of maybe not just meeting, but actually like more now that we're like matching the weight of the other hand or the cells. You could picture like all the cells starting to like exchange to like cross over to the other hand even. And if you actively yield, pour, push, no, I don't want to say push, I want to say like pour into the other hand, you might start to feel like they're going to start to like have some resistance and almost push away from each other, which is, I'll leave that one for Colleen. But here's just like a beginning feeling of yielding. You could also do this with a balloon. If you had a balloon, you could like hold on to the balloon with your fingertips, your hands, and then you could like gradually pour your cells into the balloon, actively pouring the weight in. And that could be a nice way to sense this feeling of yielding. So that's just like a first hit on what this is. I think there's something about it, well, there's something about it that has to do with our weight and like sensing the weightiness of our bodies. So even if you're sitting right now, I'm sitting right now, so this feeling of put like finding my weight on my pelvis, on my sits bones, my like where when you ride a bicycle, the bones that hurt sometimes. So feeling this sense of my weight being supported on my pelvis, and then actively actually pouring my weight downward, right? And it's just a change in intention. So this sense of weight and flow that is this grounding and intention. And I think that's an important part of the yielding to me is that it's active and it's intentional. Maybe now, maybe not always, but this is one of the this is one of the first things that we do as little babies. So in the womb, in utero, as the baby grows and gets bigger, there is kind of a yielding that happens against the uterine wall. So if you think about a baby who's at like 40 weeks or, getting bigger, there's that sense of connection all around, right? There, I'm thinking about like my son, how like squished he was in my belly, and like he was able to yield and connect all around him through that sense of meeting and matching the walls around him. This is also within our when we think about our developmental patterning, we first start finding this when we're in the pattern of head tail. So this is a sense of self, it's a sense of like individual. It's a sense of connection to the world. And again, in utero, it's that initial yielding and then pushing. It's hard to talk about just one of these because they do overlap, but so yeah. And then I was kind of thinking, like, what if there was no yielding? Like, what would that feel like if we had no connection? And I was like, I wonder if that's what it feels like to be in space. Like you would have like your spacesuit on or something, but if you were, I'm just picturing like an astronaut like floating out in space, like how you would have nothing to actually connect to. Because what we do all day long is we connect through our feet and we connect through what we're sitting on. We connect to other people. We might yield our hands onto our desk. We might push open a door, you know. So we have these points of connection all day long, and how incredibly different that would feel to be just in this void of space without any ability to yield.
I mean, a couple of things, Sarah, that come up for me as you're talking about it is the cueing of opening the towards porousness as a way to bond, like the feet onto the ground could harden the skin and the edge and pull away, but that wouldn't be yielding. That would be pulling away. That would be a different part of this cycle, a different part of this phrase, that the yielding is the outflow, as you said, that bonds us and it lets us know what we are here. Like, so when I connect and bond into something, I know where I am. I can yield into myself to let that in. I can yield into the space. And so there is something about feeling like you're not in space if you can't yield, because you can't ever really settle into the connection into a place. And I think the word yield also brings up a letting something in, just like we can outflow and let ourselves be present with something out there, that we can yield to something coming in. And so I think about this maybe in terms of like a relationship or an idea that is presented that I can either harden against the idea, or I can yield, almost absorbing it to some ex degree. I can yield into it. It allows me to connect to it. Now, of course, like all of these, you wouldn't want to only yield. And so they each have a right and timely purpose to them, but that I can connect and bond to get to know it. But that gives me a strong foundation from which to then push against.
Yeah, totally. I was thinking, like, as a, I was thinking about this part of the pattern, you know, when do I like physically do this in my life? And when do I do it in maybe more of like a metaphorical sense? And I think that's such a great point that, like, the ability to yield, you know, like that's a word we use in other ways as well, you know, like yield in traffic, yield, like yield to the situation going on. Like, yeah, that sense of like the flow going both ways. And I was thinking about it. I was like, what does yielding do for me? And I know that it gives me a sense of grounding and intention, but also like a willingness to change. Like it's like, because I yield, I can adapt and I can change. And I can change through that sense of like intention and continuity, that it's like I'm ready to change because I have a sense of myself and I have a connection to something else, either my environment or another person or thing. And it gives me like, it's like a sense of, it gives me a sense of stability when I yield, which also can then give me that option for mobility or option to change, a willingness to change is what it felt like.
It's the beginning. It feels like it really is the beginning. It's almost like when I feel a yielding in my body, there's not a lot of movement produced outside that a observer or witness could see, but underneath my skin, I feel a lot of movement. I feel a lot is happening inside of me that's then getting ready to do something, to produce something else that will then be seen as more movement. But it's like the inner churnings or something that I can feel happening when I really yield.
That's great. I have just two thoughts and then we can pass the pattern. So one was maybe a little bit opposite of what you just said in a sense, but like I'm thinking about like, so I'm sitting in a chair right now and noticing like where my body is coming in contact with the chair. And if you're listening and sitting, you might notice this. And then just like having that sense of like kind of letting myself sink into it a little bit. But with the activity of it, you know, and how that like gives me some comfort in a way that like I have this support from this chair, from whatever I'm in, or you think of like snuggling with somebody, like that, just that sense of like pouring into and how that can really like give you support and it almost also gives like a little bit of like a release where if I'm on my chair and I'm kind of like, you know, and like rigid and, you know, kind of held, I don't feel like I'm as adaptable. But if I can like have this sense of like yielding my weight out and in, then it's I can release a little bit more. The other thing, just this is, I use this for grounding, and I think like these are related. And I was like, did I already do this on this podcast? But here it is again. If you want to try out a little imagery, I feel like this is can be helpful while standing, but you could also do it sitting. But I love this idea of like all these little granules of sand in my body. And I like sand because it's mobile and like there's millions of sand granules that are like moving past each other. But there's also a sense of like support to them because there's so many. And if you're standing, I like to picture like the sand kind of like it could be filling up your whole body, it could just be filling up your feet. And then what I like to do is almost like a like the hourglass, just like letting the sand out, and it's just like pouring into the earth, and it's regenerating. So it's not like you're like sandless. You don't like lose your sand. It just keeps regenerating in your body, and this sense of yielding and pouring through. If it's the feet, or if you can do it sitting, it's just this outpouring flow of these tiny sand granules that have weight, and maybe they have like warmth to them, and they're moving and they're active and they keep regenerating. And that sense of really letting that active force pour out eventually gives you this ability to then push away, which is how I'll pass the baton to
Push
Colleen.
the baton in my direction. Yeah, and I think that like that sets up exactly what I wanted to initiate this with, is that if as you yield fully, when you fully bond and connect, that there's almost like a bottom of that yield that starts to phrase into the compression of the tissues, which is the beginning of a push. The push is a compression pattern where there becomes an active muscularity to push against, to engage muscularly into something. So instead of yielding and bonding and pouring into it, you're now pushing, pressing, engaging in a way that either seeks to move that thing away from you or move you away from that thing. And sometimes it's a mix of both, and oftentimes maybe the intention is not clear, except that it is to create distance between you and whatever it is that you're pushing against. Some words that come up for me when I think of push right away is active muscularity, a compression pattern in which the tissue can feel itself. It feels itself, its mass, its density. Press, a boundary. Sometimes hardening, though I think we can push through open tubes also, but it's much more physically engaged, it has a much more heightened energetic state, activated state than the yield. Push introduces us on a body level to something new. So as we yield into something present that's known, when we then push away, it starts to introduce us to moving into a new place. If we just push and push and push, we may not get very far, but each push is sending an impulse into us that then moves the body slightly somewhere new. I also really find pushing is very, it can feel very satisfying because I think it activates something around our proprioception, which is about knowing where we are in space. So all that muscular activity, all the pressure and compression of the neuromuscular system helps the body feel where it is spatially, and it's orienting. When I push, I feel like I can feel myself and I know where I am.
Yeah, it's a good way to say it.
Yeah, I'm kind of like I'm more present. And so sometimes a push, the word push can come up with like a pushy personality. And I these yield, push, reach, grasp, pull do have we might have preferences for them. So you may know somebody that seems to be, as you would describe them, as quite pushy. And what you might be seeing is that their yield pattern is lesser known or lesser expressed. And the push pattern, pushing away, is so an idea comes and they push it away, or change comes and they push it away, or that what you're seeing is a high amplification of the push pattern in them that then becomes part of their foundational ways that they relate to the world.
Yeah.
I think that's a place I want to start, and then I'll have Sarah chime in before I say a little bit more. But Sarah, what comes up for you around push and yield?
I think it like one thing is, which you've said in a way, is just like we can push towards something and we can push away from something, and or maybe other directions as well. But when we think of, in the early developmental parts where babies are on the ground when they're little, and it's oh, by the way, like shout out to Peggy Hackney, of course, as I was thinking about this stuff, I read through her part of her book again. It's like, my Bible kind of. Babies, are on the ground when they're little, and it's important for them to be on the ground, and they're yielding into the floor, and they yield and yield and yield, and then what happens is they start to move away, and then their little heads come up, and they have that engagement through the whole torso and body, and then eventually they push and they go backward. Like they might see something out in front of them that they're like, I'm gonna get that thing, and so they push, but they go the wrong direction, and it's frustrating for the baby. And it's so interesting to me that that's the first thing that happens is you go away before you go toward. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad that you brought up the the idea of how we connect to these in terms of is someone a pushy person? Are they pushing me away? Or that, because there's also that sense of pushing yourself into the world, pushing yourself into space. It made me think of the first part of fight or flight is like if if you can see it so clearly in animals, I think when they drop their weight, they like yield like crazy and then push. Like it is like boom, like to if I need to get out of here or if I'm in a fight, it is just this yield push and then the rest of it. But it's super useful, it's like. But yeah, I think pushing gets kind of a negative connotation in our society. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think like that pushing away. So as Sarah talked about, the infant wants to go forward. They see something ahead of them and they want that and they push, but it sends them away. That this is actually a safety. This is a biological process for safety of saying no and moving away from something that's not safe. And it is really important to be able to express, I think, that no, and to be able to say no and move towards safety in a way that is accepted and received. And so if there's a push from an infant and there's some then charge or shame or not allowing that to happen in the family, that then our no and our moving away from may be experienced not as something to embrace, something that serves us, but as something to that is shunned. And that can happen, I think, at other times in development. It could happen when you're older and you push against something or say no, and that perhaps if that push is met by the caregiver or by the community, as too much, like the push away causes the caregiver to break down, to like, then you learn your push is too strong. It has too much power and charge. It's destructive. And I think that can be terrifying. Or if the push is met with, like, no, that's bad, like with shame, then I think it's then met with, like, oh, this is something I should not be engaging in. Like, I need to hide this, or it's relegated to not acceptable part of the self. But push is also highly, highly required. I see it in a lot of exercise right now. I feel like in the United States, if there's not a predominance of pushing, there's maybe not a feeling of having exercise. Like, there's something about the hard work of the push that feels like I've worked it out.
That should be the name of like a new exercise program. Just push.
Push. I think there's gyms called that. Some others may be called pull. Something called reach for what you can't get. I don't know. They're in all of them.
It's
Yeah. And
new
we hear it a lot, like, we hear it a lot in our language, this word push. Things like, we're going to make a big push for that. Like, it's a good thing. We want to move towards it. I'm going to really push myself in this direction. Which implies, I think, putting my weight behind something and maybe working a little bit harder and seeing how far I can get. Or we're just going to have to keep pushing that away. Like, that's not the thing we're going to work with. Or they might keep bringing it, but we're just going to have to keep pushing it away, sort of saying no to that, setting a boundary. So those are some other ways we might hear it. And I bet now that we're having this conversation and you're listening, you're gonna kind of find that these words are everywhere, in the way we talk about our lives and our relationships. So, for the push, if you want to place your palms maybe on your thighs, and we'll explore the yield to the push. So with the hands on the thighs, imagine that the skin in the hands can open and all the sand in the hands pours into the legs, into the thighs. And then as the thighs receive this and the hands receive it, there becomes a amount of pressure that builds between the hands and the thighs. And that pressure then starts to activate the muscles further up the arms and in the legs, where there's now this feeling of compression where you want to push, you want to activate the engagement so much so that perhaps you send the upper body away from the legs or the legs away from the upper body. And you can then start to do one hand and the other, yielding, connecting, and then actively pushing one in the other, one into the other, and then an other hand into the other leg. So now there's some opposite hand to opposite knee spirals happening. And I feel that this kind of pushing will cause movement through the spine, through the torso, the deep guts get engaged with a push. So when you push with the hands, there's a hollowing in the belly. So these inflow outflow connections between other parts of the body get engaged. And it's in the push pattern for infants also that as they push and engage the muscles start to get stronger. The muscles start to be able to cope with new levels of challenge. So if you're just yielding and yielding and yielding, you're not getting the muscular engagement needed to advance this neuromuscular system towards the next levels. And it's in these pushings and the muscular engagement that the full curvature of the spine starts to develop. So if you're feeling like tension in your spine and in your neck, maybe instead of trying to place the spine where you want it to be, working with pushing through the hands into the feet, pushing the hands into the ground, and then letting the spine core deep guts respond may start to bring some spacious ringing out in the muscular level, that will help you feel that internal support and alignment from pushing through the limbs. And of course, that's one of the things that makes exercise feel good. It's very common in exercise to lock off some of those pathways in the body, and that can feel like the push maybe doesn't get its full day, like it's not getting its day in the sun. It's getting stunted somewhere along its line. But yeah, I feel like I've said enough about push before I curl myself into a big pushing monster. Sarah, do you have anything else that
Maybe when
caught
we were doing the
your eye
hands on the
for?
thighs, it reminded me of that thing. We're kind of glitching a little. Maybe it's hopefully it's just my internet, but it made me think of kitties, like when kitties do that thing where they like someone called it like kneading dough or making biscuits or something like that. Or they're like, is that it? Or and I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's like fulfilling some sort of like push pattern for them where they're like, this feels so good to like keep my spine active, and you know how like incredibly mobile cats are, so who knows. Okay, so lots of times with this pattern, this phrasing of yield, it's yield and push, and then it phrases to reach and pull. So let's move into the area of reaching, which again, I'm thinking like how many connotations we have with that automatically. Reaching for the stars, reach for your dreams, reach your full potential, right? All this that we reach for, striving for. Some other words that are surrounding reach for me in this context are curiosity, I want, mine. Mine. I'm going here. Like I'm going here. Goals, having goals, getting what I need, right? So we start to, at this part of the patterning, we start to bridge to our environment in different ways. So we've got that sense of support from our yielding. We've got that motivation to push. And now this is the little bridge of phrasing and patterning where we've gone from this push to, I'm gonna get that. I'm gonna get that. I'm gonna reach out for what I need. And it's obviously so vital that we do this, right? If you think about, maybe just do a little tracking for yourself, even for like 10 minutes, honestly. I was like, you could do it for a day, but that would be a lot. Even for 10 minutes, notice how many things you reach for. And, you know, we have these incredible three-dimensional hands, and we have these incredible three-dimensional arms and eyeballs and everything that allows us to reach to our environment and to get what we need and bring it back to ourselves, right? So feeding ourselves, like one of the most obviously vital, important things that we do, that ability to yield and push to reach something and bring it to ourselves to feed ourselves, to make ourselves continue living. So, I mean, that's sort of the like, you know, underlying big ideas of it. You can see this a lot in like big movements. I really enjoyed this moment I had. I was actually in, where was I? In near where Colleen lives, Geneseo. Is that where was I?
Also, Genesis.
For yeah, it was for a conference
Oh,
and
Geneva.
Geneva, that was it. And I was done with the conference and I was getting ready to go to the airport, but there was like an Iron Man going on. And so I got a croissant and some coffee, and I was just enjoying spectating all of these people running by me. And, here I am, like sitting there, like kind of gently analyzing people as I have my pastry and my coffee. And they're doing this incredible, like, feat of effort. But you can really, really, really see, especially with so many examples running by, when there is like an efficient push, when there is an efficient reach, and when there is like the whole phrasing happening. And then you can also see examples of like, oh, it seems like that person is pushing, but I don't see the reach. I don't see the like stride through that connection of the phrasing to that goes, I think, from the ground through the body, through one leg to the other leg. That it's like there's a lot of pushing happening, but they're not going anywhere, is kind of how it feels. Where that reach really allows you to go beyond, like beyond where you are right now. And I used to run a little bit. Well, no, I ran a lot, but it was a while ago. And part of what we would work on, I just ran track and stuff, was like lengthening the stride. And I was like, oh, we were like lengthening the reach of the run. So you can think about, you don't have to run to do this, but you can think about it in walking as well. The like the phrasing of my foot hits the ground, I yield, I transfer my weight, I push, my other leg reaches. And yeah, how far it reaches or the not how far, it's not like a goal of how far, but like the efficiency of it. And I think there's something about this efficiency of the transfer of the movement through the body that is like Colleen was talking about with pressing the arms away, that it activates through your body. It sends a message of sequencing through your body through kinetic chains. So this reaching in that sense is really efficient and can feel really good as well.
One word that one of the founders of IMS and one of our mentors and colleagues, Janice Meaden, introduced to me in the description of the reaches, it's an elongation into space. And that tension, the phrasing from the compression of the push to elongate the tissue into space, almost like there's a pulling of the gum. Right? Instead of like the teeth like crushing the gum, as in the push, the gum then starts to get pulled into a bubble. It starts to open into a spatial world that gives it access now to a larger range than it had in the push. So it's in that larger range that awareness that there's something beyond what I'm pushing against that I can start to move towards.
Yeah. And there's something beyond me, right? Like it's, yeah, it opens up all of these possibilities for connection to space. A big thing that it opens up is your choice, that you have choices, right? So I can reach to that, I can reach to this. And okay, so this was this realization I had. It's kind of a personal thing, but it's okay. So my son is a totally perfectly healthy, incredible little 6-year-old. He's like I'm very lucky how healthy he is, and he's super strong and super like athletic, and he does a lot of pushing. He does a lot of all of it. But I was, as we were thinking about this, as I was thinking about this, it struck me, and it was something from Peggy's book, that she said, babies choose when to be born. And it starts with the yield and the push, right, against the uterine wall. And then, if you have a vaginal birth, then eventually there's the like reach and pull down the birth canal. And I just had this like aha moment, because so my son was born C-section. So he He started it. He started the yield and the push, and I went into labor, and I was in labor for 30 hours, and I just never dilated. My cervix never dilated. So I was like, oh my goodness, like he was pushing for all of that time, and he never got to reach and pull, right? Because then it was just like zip, like C-section. So he never got to this second part of the raising, at least in that part of his existence. Like he pushed and pushed and pushed, and he didn't get to finish the phrasing of it. And I was, I mean, yeah, it just made me kind of go, oh.
He didn't get to move himself, which will really come up, I think, as we talk about the pull too. But
Yeah.
he didn't get to feel how his pull can move himself literally through the portal of the vaginal wall into this human world that we live in.
Yeah.
And as you're talking about that, I'm remembering how the push is a differentiation pattern. So in the yielding and bonding, there's kind of a me and you could be the same. And the pushing against is a differentiation of me, you.
Yeah.
And I think about myself as a teenager, and my gosh, I had to push. I mean, really starting when I was about seven, that I loved to push against my parents. And I think it was a way I felt myself in relationship to them. But I also, because they would push me and match me and push me back, if they hadn't met and matched me, if they had disappeared, that probably would have been much more disorienting and very frustrating for me.
Yeah.
But instead, they would meet my push often, and there would be a clash, but I could feel my relationship to them. And they could feel their relationship to me. But that ultimately, I think, was a process of differentiating between us, which then gave me access to the choices I wanted to make for myself. And now maybe seven is a little definitely young to be going through that. There are ways in which it's very developmentally appropriate, especially I think in the way that our teenage years are set up, that there should be some pushing against to decide who one is, to feel who you are, which then does move into or phrase into being able to see the choices that one has and elongate and reach towards some of those.
Yeah. And I have to say, my son has no problem with reaching and pulling for what he wants. So it's not, it's not to say that if, you were born C-section or your child was, that there's something wrong or something missing. But I was starting to think about like, okay, so when do we like complete this phrase in our lives together? Since that birthing process we started together. And then it kind of got interrupted in a way. And I think about, so there's like, we do this one lift all the time, which he's getting a little too heavy for. But he like runs at me and he reaches out. We got like a hand, like a clear handhold because I'm a dancer. So we like do lifts, right? And he reaches out. And then I grab him up and he pulls his weight into me. So we have this like reach, pull, lift thing that we do a lot. And I think he pushes a lot, and he also reaches for me and pulls me to him a lot. There is that sense of connection there that definitely continues. So yeah, it was kind of this realization I had that I was like, whoa, I've never thought about this before, that that was part of his entrance into the world. Okay, and then I have like one more thing before I pass the baton, before I reach to you and pass the baton. So I was just thinking, like, as we were moving through this, it was the way that Colleen and I are like alternating. It was very strange to go from yielding to reaching with no pull. It just felt so strange. And I think it actually does happen quite a bit in our everyday lives. So if you maybe go back to yielding, and perhaps like standing up might help. This is how I did it. So it's like, okay, I'm yielding, I'm pouring the sand, I'm doing that. And then I'm not going to push, but I'm just going to reach for something I want. So I'm kind of missing that in between. I'm missing that push to the reach. I'm just yielding and reaching. And to me, it almost feels like I don't really have the intention to get that thing. It's like I'm here with myself yielding, and I don't really have the like motivation to like get to that thing. It feels really incongruent to me. And I think of an example is maybe when, if you've ever tried to open like a heavy door that didn't open, it's like, oh, okay, what just happened? Like some part of that phrasing was missing. Maybe I wasn't yielding enough, or maybe I didn't send the push through for the reach, for the pull. but reaching can feel, I think, like overextending ourselves sometimes. If I'm reaching without the support of the yield and the push, I'm reaching beyond what I've got right now. And we probably do this quite a bit in our lives, our like very busy lives, where I'm not grounded, I'm not yielding, I'm not coming from that sense of supported push, but I'm reaching. I'm reaching for stuff that I don't necessarily have the support for, which makes the pull even harder. Maybe that's the heavy door part.
Yeah, the pull even harder. You're not set up to actually move yourself towards it. I think too, the word overextended comes up is when I'm reaching, yeah. Either I'm reaching for too many things, or I'm reaching way outside of what I can support inside, that I've had to overextend or hyperextend myself in order to move towards that thing. And so I'm not ready yet for that thing.
Yeah, you're not ready yet.
I still either need to move myself further with some smaller yields and pushes to get closer to it. Or I need more support inside. I need more support from somewhere in order to start to be able to reach for that. Yeah. And so say you do have the support inside. You've yielded and bonded and connected. You've then compressed and activated muscularly in. I think Sarah's word intention is totally right on, that I have the intention and the push to go somewhere else. I see where I'm going. I sequence into space, reaching into space, and then I grasp it. The hand takes hold. And it wraps around and you've got it. And if you think of the word grasp, like you have a grasp of that concept, it means you understand it. You've taken hold of it. You've kind of wrapped yourself around it in a way that you can then do something with it. I'm grasping that concept. Sarah and I were joking as we were chatting to get ready for this episode. And I had said, because I was looking at pushing and pulling, I said, man, this seems like a dramatic relationship. Like if there's not a lot of yielding, like coming together, and there's not a lot of reaching, like you have like goals that you're working towards together. It's just like pushing and pulling between each other. Like, God, that just seems high intensity drama. But then I also was like, but grasp, now that's sexy. That's like, now I got you. Anyway, for what it's worth.
I love it.
but grasp has a feeling of you've made contact and now you're allowed to feel what it feels like to wrap around it. And whatever this thing is, you're allowed to wrap around it. There's a permission to behold. And I think that when you, and say you reach out towards something like something really stable, like a rock climbing hold or a pole, and you feel your hand wrap around it like a ballet bar and feel the stability of it, that there's an automatic change in the tone of the tissues throughout the rest of the limb into the core. Because now that you've got it, there's like a, okay, the game has changed. Now I've got this new thing that then I will pull towards myself or pull myself towards and through. And in terms of grasping, every single phrase, yield, push, reach, grasp, and pull, of these satisfaction cycle can have different clusters of emotions for us. And I have certainly encountered in myself and in others, like what it feels like to grasp something and not believe that I'm good enough to have it, or to have to be like, whoa, I did that. Like that there's a psychological surprise sometimes. And sometimes I can load it with positive feelings. Sometimes I can load it with, wait, really me feelings, but that there's a that things have taken on a different tone, a different energy once the grasp has happened. And we may not feel deserving, we may feel entitled to it, but that comes in with this like this grasping of the new. And that then, the grasp, the fingers wrapped around, can allow the pull to happen. So the pull is again another muscular activation, hence the drama of the push and the pull. We get a lot of muscular activation in these two. And in the pull, you know, oftentimes joints flex, muscles contract and joints flex. And we may pull ourselves or pull this thing, like say I'm shopping and I see a shirt and I reach out, I grasp the silk, it feels great, and then I pull it towards myself. That's not necessarily a ton of muscular activation. It's a somewhat easier way to acquire something, to pull it towards myself. I am not necessarily changed, though I may have a new shirt, but I'm not necessarily changed. And this idea, I should say, came from Hyun, who is a translator for the IMS Korean program in South Korea, who also does a lot of Jungian translation and dream analysis. And so she was helping to develop these ideas this summer, or clarify these ideas, which is how different it is when you grasp something and then muscularly pull yourself to it and through it. Like you've actually now gone to a new place. And as Hyun said, that's too true and total transformation. That's what most of us don't want to do because it's so physically and emotionally hard to, once you've got something, move, use your muscles to move your whole body through it to transform to a new place. Now, it doesn't always have to be muscularly hard, but it is. I mean, when I think of doing a pull-up, like I reach up, I take hold, and then I have to pull my, use my muscles, my lats and biceps and things like that, to pull my chin up and over a bar. Like that is exceptionally satisfying. And really, it is quite challenging. And I feel like when I've done it, I've taken like a huge bite of a buttery bagel and everything is just good for a second. And so the pull, yeah, the pull is moving us or moving something. It's bridging the distance. So it's either moving us closer to something else or past it, or it is bringing something closer to us. But it's bridging the distance. So we're no longer so far away, and it might now become part of us. So some other words for pulling involve things. Well, I don't know if I want to quite go there, but some other words for pulling to me comes up like acquiring, achieving, taking hold of and owning. So those are some of the first ones that come up for pulling, but it's interesting to me that this one is in some ways harder. I feel like I know this one physically very well, but I don't have as many metaphorical ways that are like associations that come to it. Sarah, do you have any?
I was just thinking the same thing. I was like, wow, pulling. I mean, I said this for the last one, but it feels like a little sense of like it could be like this is mine. Like I'm bringing this into myself. Or I'm pulling myself to this. I'm pulling myself into this situation. I'm like arriving, like I'm available because I am able to pull myself up to the table or into the conversation or into the situation.
I think it's interesting, like you're bringing up for me some of the other ways I've been thinking about how I've heard or used pulling to describe people or personalities. And One was somebody that I knew who I felt like was always pulling at me with their eyes. Like they were using their eyes to try to pull me in. And I felt like with this person, I couldn't give them what they wanted. And I was in like a pushing it away phase, and they were pulling at something that they wanted from me that I wasn't going to meet. And so we weren't going to, there wasn't necessarily a verbal way to address this, but there we weren't going to make it work very easily. And then another one that I've been thinking about with pulling is the phrase somebody's pulling away, which is so interesting because it implies to me that they don't want to be leaving, but they don't know how to make, like they don't know how to stay. So they're not like actively pushing you away, like, no, I don't want this. It's like they want, the contrails are all there and they want to keep it going, but they can't quite. You know, there's a real sense of connection still in the pulling away, which feels really different than the pushing away.
I'm also thinking how it seems in this way, in this pattern, the pulling is like a individual act of intention where, we talk about getting pulled in many directions in our life, which seems like a passive thing of like people are pulling me, my job is pulling me, my different parts of my life are pulling me, like I have no control over it. But this sort of pull is like my active intentional pull, or pulling away. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that as a really distinct one that doesn't quite fit, but still feels like it has the energy of a pull, but it's a pull that's going in a confused direction, maybe.
Yeah, I wonder if it's like retroactively patterning. It's patterning in reverse, maybe. Maybe you pull away and then you push away.
Yeah. Where you pull away to sort out how you feel about something. And then, like, because I can definitely say I'm going to pull away, like, I'm trying to get some distance so I can understand it better before I can re-enter. Like, I'm trying to create some distance so I'm not so close into it, so I can make sense out of something a little bit differently than I have been. I think one of the other things that I wanted to bring up with pulling is that I actually feel like on a movement level, it's one that is less formally attended to. I mean, definitely in exercise, people will do like pulling things where you like sit and do like close grip row pulls or something like that, or cable pull downs, or maybe a pull up. But in most exercise, the pull pattern doesn't actually move the body somewhere new. It's you pull something towards it. And I have noticed that in a lot of training, like when I go to the gym and I watch what people are doing, that I do see a lot of pushing, and people are like, push, push, push. Like they use that word to try to motivate and excite somebody to perform better. I do see reaching just as I think part of the culture, but the really integrated through to the core pull pattern, I do see much, much less fully in most athletic engagement activity. And developmentally, just as the push moves somebody away and it comes from two arms, so it's what's called homologous. So it co goes from the three limbs of the upper two arms and the head, and you push away. Developmentally, the pull pattern, so you've elongated, reached, and taken hold, and then you pull. There's a response in the pull into the core that starts to bring the body into a spiral. So there will be a, say, the right arm pulls, so the joints of the right arm contract. The left knee will theoretically and hopefully respond and contract in also when the pull. And so that becomes what we call a cross-lateral pattern, the right arm through to the left leg. And so that is where we get rotation at the joints, we get spiraling, we get full-bodied complex movement. And we really need the pull in order to realize fully the complexity of crawling, creeping, crawling, and then much more complex pattern. And also it helps find the flexion of the body into the gut. So when you pull, there is a coming the eyes, coming into the deep belly core with a spiral. And I think that's one of the reasons I love rock climbing, and I love climbing easy routes, not hard routes, because hard routes then I have to do something else tricky. But easy routes is because when you elongate, reach, and take hold of that hold, and then pull yourself. Like, I feel myself coming into a little ball. I feel the rotation in my joints. It feels like it's a full-bodied engagement that's just so satisfying. And then I get to begin again.
It makes me think of kind of the stereotypical, like, yes.
Yeah, totally. Let's
Yeah, if
go.
you can see what like Colleen's doing right now, just like, like the hand grasps and kind of spirals and the fingers come in and the elbow comes into the belly and you're like, yeah. Which is like, yes, you've achieved something and it's satisfying.
I've
Yeah,
done
I thought
it.
of like another a couple other like examples. I want to like skate ski more. I love like watching it. And I've always just been like, oh my gosh, this is just the most beautiful like movement. And it is such a beautiful example of heel push, reach, pull. Like if you think of like the, if you watch like the Olympics and the really good people do it, it's also, I've tried it like quite a bit and I'm like, it really requires you to figure out how to pattern that thing, or it's very, very difficult. It's so hard until you like are good at it, I think. But if you think about it, there's the yielding, there's the pushing, there's the reaching, and there's the pull. Like all of it is there in this beautiful like alternating pattern that happens, reaching out with the poles, the ski poles, and then pulling yourself through. It's such a like a complete cycle of this pattern. And then I was thinking of, I don't know. What do you think, Colleen, of this? So, like kiddos on like the monkey bars that are going from one bar to the next bar. I was just kind of thinking, like, are they just reaching and pulling? And that's why it's so hard. Like they don't have the lower, their lower body's like dangling, and they're just kind of like going with the upper body. Is it just like the reach and pull pattern that they're doing?
Yeah, I think part of it, and I think that actually they're doing like a brachiation pattern where like you have to ideally, hopefully, initiate from the core to then reach through the next arm and then release that hand, initiate from the core to reach through the other arm. But what usually happens, and I do this too, because it requires a whole different kind of strength. I try not to do this, but I notice myself doing it as I climb in my icosahedron, is that usually people just reach with the distal hands, like they kind of jab at the next thing, and then you don't have the support from the inside to reach for the next. But if you kind of release and reach from the core out through the arm, reach from the core out through the arm like a monkey does, hence brachiation, then it's still a lot of muscle, but it kind of gives the momentum that can keep it going.
So you just said release, which is, I think, their very last little bit of this. Will you talk more about that?
Yeah, actually, this came from a student, and I've thought often about yield, push, reach, grasp, pull transition. But then a student the last certification program said, "What about release?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh, yes, of course, Dana, release. Like, we have to let it go. Once we pull ourselves through, we have to almost psychologically not be identified with what's just happened so that we can then go on to the next thing." So, like, after we've pulled, we release that to begin again.
Yeah. And you can see that in walking, like a nice gait that has gone through the yield, push, reach, pull. And then there's that, like that little swing kind of, or that little sense of like a release is that you've given up for a minute.
Yeah.
You've given up your weight for a second and it swings through without your like driving effort.
And I'm no longer holding on to that thing. So say the kid on the monkey bars doesn't do the release, they're literally still holding on to where they were, so they're never going to go into the next thing. And so the release requires us, or allows us, to move away from what was. If we're still holding on to what was, we're going to be sort of stuck there. And these things take time, sure, especially if we're thinking of them as psychological metaphors. That like we, it's not like I just wake up one day and I'm like, I'm totally over my ex. That doesn't usually how that goes. But that over time, those we are releasing our hold. We're letting the hold go so that we can then take hold on to something new. We
Yeah.
can bond to where we are now, push against it, see where we might want to go, elongate into space, grasp something new, and then pull ourselves forward as we let go of where we were before.
Yeah.
And none of this is static. I guess that's what comes up for me is none of this is a balanced activity. It's an activity of constant shift.
Yeah. Always in motion.
Yeah.
It's cool. Can we try standing up as
Yeah,
our maybe as our closer?
let's stand up as our end. Take it away.
Friends who are listening, if you want to try this, I don't, it's something we do every day, like so many times a day. And lots of times I think we do it in ways that are maybe less efficient than they could be. So if you're sitting in a chair and your feet are right down from kind of narrow, maybe go a little more narrow than you might normally feel. And just start with feeling your feet on the floor and like letting that sand pour from the bottoms of your feet into the floor. And you feel the floor meeting you. The ground and the earth is coming up to you. So the sense of yielding the feet into the floor, and you feel that connection to the floor. And then when you really truly feel that connection, just give like a little push. So I'm like sitting in my chair and I'm kind of like popping up and down a little bit because I'm just starting the beginning of that push. And then as I get some momentum going, if you have like a yoga ball, this is like super great to do on a yoga ball because it gives you that momentum. And letting this, I'm really going to try to let it come through my body. So I'm going to let it sequence from my feet up through the inside of my legs. It's going to go through my psoas, which we've talked about before, but that's this beautiful muscle that connects our lower body to our upper bodies. And I'm going to let this push come through as I start to stand up. And then I can start to layer in that sense of reaching through maybe like my torso, back of heart. And then that last feeling of pulling, just like with this gentle, easeful pulling at the top of the head. And then that sense of standing up is this sequence, this phrasing, this patterning that moves through my whole body. And it's like sending messages, like a little like rope light. I think of it as like yielding to the floor, pushing away from the floor. The push travels up my legs, through my torso. I reach, and then finally pull up to standing. And you can try it a couple times, and then you can also try taking out part of the patterning. So maybe try just like reaching and pulling with your head to stand up, which is actually a lot of times what we do. Like I'm just reaching and pulling, and I haven't really pushed. I'm just trying to like pull myself up by my head or by my shoulders or something like that. Or you could try just the push without the reach and pull. Like I haven't finished the phrase. I see this a lot in jumping, like in dance when people are jumping. I'll see like parts of it, but not all of it. And it's like there's the, I see the yield and the push, but it's like, oh, finish the sentence, finish the like connection by letting it come out the top by that reach and that pull out the top. Do you want to add anything to our standing up, Colleen?
The only thing I have is that I often feel when I'm really supported through my lower, how much my reaching, like my seeking with my eyes and then, or my nose or my mouth, or even wanting to hear. So that senses of the head end that they seek and then sort of pull me in movement somewhere else. So, like, oh, the sounds of kids playing outside will pull me somewhere else, or like the smell of something. So I'll seek, like, what is that smell? What is that? And that pulls me into activation. And so, how that's all I want to say is that I feel like I interact with and engage with the world through the senses of the head end and also yielding, pushing, reach, pull patterns.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's how we satisfy ourselves.
it. All right. This is a lot of information. This is a big pattern. It's like a big part of this work. And so we were excited to dive into it. And I know it was a lot of information, but hopefully some helpful stuff just to play with and like knowing that it's a process and it's not you're not doing something wrong if you're maybe not moving through it in exactly that way. There's always the opportunity to repattern and to rediscover or discover for the first time different ways of moving. So
Yeah, thanks so much, Sarah. It was totally a pleasure. And yes, these are part of all movement. They underpin basically everything we do.
yeah, it's kind
It's
of
a big
amazing.
episode, but a kind of connects to every other episode.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you.